So this week, our study is on what is truth. If you'll turn to John 18:37. A lot of this is going to be in the book of John, but, it's going to be all over the place. But this is something that's really impacted me, is the fact that I can call on God and ask for truth. I can call on God when I need to know the truth. I can go to His Word when I need to know the truth. This is actually on the top part of your study sheet. But it says in, let's look at John 18. Mm, 34. Pilate, you know, that Jesus is brought before Pilate, and the Jews, you know, say, we bring them to you because we can't condemn anybody to death. So basically, the Jews want Jesus condemned to death. And, you know, he's been called, people have called him King of the Jews. And so Pilate asked him that question, are you the King of the Jews? In verse 34, he says, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? You know, is this your idea, or somebody, or did you hear this? Pilate answered him, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, and I think this is such a powerful statement. It really just hit me today. But anyway, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So Jesus is making this statement. The reason I'm here is to bear witness to the truth. The reason I came is to bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate says in verse 38, what is truth? And that's a question that, you know, the world is asking, what is truth? Well, the world is answering it today. Whatever you want it to be, basically. You know, your truth, his truth, my truth, just be you, let you be you kind of thing, all that, the sayings that go around today. Everyone's living by their own truth, and that's not truth. It's not the case. There is just one truth, and it's God's truth, and it affects every area of our lives, and it affects my life on a personal level, your life on a personal level, not just doctrinally, but just in my everyday walk as a Christian, because what I face, and I'm sure you do too, is the constant barrage of the enemy and his lies to me, or the world, the society's lies to me, false teachings, lies to me. We're constantly surrounded by lies, and we have to know the truth to be able to have a good emotional stability, spiritual stability in our lives, to really, I know this is true. Like when we face trials and hardships, if we don't know that God's love for me is perfect, then I'm going to be full of fear, right? So I have to know the truth. God's love for me is perfect. So whatever it's going to look like for me, I know that whatever happens, God loves me perfectly. So I don't have to fear. That's the truth. And so that affects everything that happens to me. So there's so many. That's just one example. There's so many statements like that. That I have to know is truth. So let's see. Let's look over at John 8:26. I just made a note of this. It's not in your paper. Jesus says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. So Jesus said, I've come to bear witness up to the truth. So he's bearing witness to the Father, and he is true. I speak to the world those things that I have heard of him. So everything Jesus spoke, he spoke what he heard and knew of his Father. And we see that mentioned many times in the New Testament. So I'm gonna let you start studying on your own, but let's just read this paragraph together. In today's world, truth is fluid. It's relative to how a person feels, what they desire, their own lusts and selfishness. Unfortunately, the enemy of our souls, the father of lies, has sown his seed and is bearing fruit among those who do not know Jesus. So take some time at your table, just maybe about 20 minutes, and look at all the way down through Romans 1:19-32. So right before the definition of truth, go that far, just at your tables and your table groups, and then we'll... I'm doing it different this week. We're going to stop and start. So stop after... continue reading Romans 1, 19 through 32. Do that, and then stop. Do that one, and then stop. But I want to just go on together and look at a few things. The definition of truth... and I'm just hearing so many good comments, and I'm just enjoying listening to y'all. I give the definition out of the Greek word. What is true in any matter, and this is on your paper. This is truth. What is true in things pertaining to God and the duties of man, moral and religious truth, true notions of God which are open to human reason, things that we can understand about God and think on about God. Truth taught in the Christian religion respecting God and his execution of his purposes through Christ. Opposing alike the superstitions of the Gentiles. You know, remember Paul said you worship, you don't even know what. You're scared you're missing a God, so you're throwing one in there. Don't even have a name for him. You know, they were superstitious. And the inventions of the Jews, the laws that they added, the rituals that they added. And the corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers, even among Christians. So truth opposes those things. This is the Greek word for truth. When you see truth in the New Testament, there are some that are different words, but most of the time it's this definition of truth. And that's the objectively. Subjectively, truth as a personal excellence, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the candor of mind, which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, deceit. I thought of my own mind. Like, when I'm in truth, there's no deceit. There's no manipulation or some other motive in my thought, you know, or my actions. It's just what it's meant to be. It's truth. It's free from those things. Free from affection. Like, maybe we're swayed by the way we feel about somebody, so we don't always... obey the truth because, oh no, they're wonderful. They've done it. And then we find out that wasn't true, you know, because our affections were swayed. So truth is separate from all those kind of things. It doesn't change. And the things like you're all reading Romans, this world has changed the truth. Now, you can't change God's truth, but they have made their own truth. They've changed what God has said and they've changed it to a lie. They changed his glory and they worshiped the creature. So all of those things are how the world has changed truth and how we often do. We don't seek God's glory. You know, we don't seek his purpose. And we seek our own purposes. That's really turning from the truth, denying what God really wants to do in our lives. But just a personal just testimony, because this is a very important subject to me because of just personal, just attacks of the enemy that I've had to face and gone through. And I'm not alone. I'm not sure every one of y'all could talk about them. But just in times, you know, through the years where I had to know the truth because I was getting several different sides to stories. And it would make or break my life, my family, my relationships, if I didn't know the truth of what God was trying to do and what God was trying to say. And I was never free from emotion or affection and things like that. I mean, that's always affected me, how I felt, what I, you know, fear, suspicion, all those kinds of things that Satan will come and say, now, they must have meant this. Or did you see that? Oh, this must be like that. He's constantly doing that to us. That's that voice. And we need to learn to recognize that voice, just like we know God's voice, so that we can rebuke it and not listen to it. Because it's not just yourself. Sometimes the enemy's accusing. And accusing you, accusing others to you. You know, and so I remember one night going home after just being confronted with a lot of different things. And I just said, God, I need to know the truth. I need to know the truth. It was that simple. I didn't even open my Bible. I just said, God, I need to know the truth. And in just the next few minutes, something was said. And it was as clear to me who was telling the truth and who was not. You know, it was just this little bitty thing. But it was a cry from my heart to God, I need to know the truth. And we can do that in every situation. And it's not just a church Bible topic. It's your life topic. It works in the world, too, because the world doesn't know the truth. The world has changed the truth. They rejected the truth and made their own truth. And, you know, you'll be in, this is real, I know you know, would be able to tell the difference, but, you know, people can be swayed by, like, you see these wonderful moral people, but they're maybe worshiping a false god. Maybe it's another religion, you know, and oh, well, they must really know the truth. They must be saved. Look how wonderful that. No, the truth is they've rejected Christ. The truth is they don't know Jesus. You know, and a lot of people would say, well, all roads lead to heaven. All faith. Christian people say, it doesn't, all faith will, you know, as long as you have faith, you'll get to heaven. Doesn't matter what it's in. I heard that today. Was that, I don't know where we were. I heard that somebody say that as a, you know, they were saying that it's such a lie. They weren't saying that as a statement. But that's prevalent among the church world today. You know, just any faith is fine. As long as you have faith, you'll get to heaven. Or you know, things like, oh, my mind just went. I had another example in my mind and it's gone. Anyway, I need God's truth because my mind is weak. My mind is weak and he can give it me strength and he can help me know the truth and he can lead me. So I just urge y'all to, in every situation, whether it's your workplace, your home, cry out to God for the truth of the situation, you know, and it, bring it back to his word, because we're going to see, I think another scripture will come across that Jesus sought to glorify God. That was what was true. Truth seeks to glorify God, not self, like we were talking about. It puts yourself on the throne. I heard people talking about that. It's not the truth if it's glorifying self and putting yourself on the throne. It's not coming from truth. And so anyway, just to share that with you, that God was so faithful. So you cry out to God, to, Lord, show me the truth. Like maybe you're having to make some decisions. I need your truth. I need to know what's true in this. And his truth, and he will. He will show us he's faithful. And he'll use others, or he'll use, you know, maybe a word that's said in church, maybe a sermon that's preached, you know, but it just, you'll just go bing. And you, thank you, Lord. That, you know, it's clear. It's clear to me. So before we go on the sheet, I want to look at the book of John and tell you about the book of John. So turn there. It's so interesting to read the book of John with this knowledge in mind, and that is the fact that John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, many years after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All right, and they wrote in this maybe the, I don't know, 40s, 50s, 60s after his death, and John's like in the 85 to 90 years later, you know. So. And one reason he wrote the book, some scholars say that, and historians say that the Christians were asking him to really tell this story because of the false doctrine that was being taught. But the book of John, the Gospel of John, is a little different than the other Gospels. It talks more about the person, who Jesus is as the Son of God, the light, the truth, the way, all the different things that he brings out. But the society at the time of John's writings were being led astray by the Gnostics, not agnostics, but Gnostics. And so John emphasizes that Jesus is the truth, because one of the main leaders was called Corinthus. He was a prominent heretical teacher, and his teaching was going around, and it was denying the supreme God, denying that the supreme God made the physical world, like there was some other higher God, and I don't know, it's confusing. But just not truth, you know, and said that the Christ descended on Jesus, the man Jesus, at baptism, and guided him in his ministry, performed his miracles. So physically, it was not God in the flesh. This is the false teaching, just to make sure you're clear on that. It wasn't Jesus in the flesh. It wasn't God in the flesh. But the Christ descended upon Jesus at baptism, guided him in ministry, performed the miracles through him, but left him at the crucifixion. And it was just a man that was crucified on the cross. Just a man, not man, fully man, fully God. That's what the Gnostics believed and taught. So it's very important to John, and you can see in the book of John, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of life. He is the I am. He was the come in the flesh. You know, so it's as we go through these scriptures in John, think about what he's combating. Because right away there was false doctrine. We know Paul dealt with false teachers coming in, saying you have to keep the law, be a Christian, and you have to keep the law as well. So Satan is just going to do the same thing over and over again. He's going to attack the truth in your life and the gospel, and anything we try to do, anything he can do to attack God's truth, he does. And it's the same. He twists things, like you were reading and studying, and just tells lies. So let's look... Chapter 1 of John. I told y'all to go there, but I didn't. So let's see. I'm going to kind of go fast so that I'll give y'all plenty of time to finish out. There might be more homework than you think. All right. John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. I'm talking about Jesus. That all men through him might believe. So he was a prophet coming to bear witness of the light. And look at verse 9. That was the true light which lights every man that comes to the world and cometh into the world. He's talking about Jesus now. He's that true light that lights every man. Light right there, true light is it's a light of truth and knowledge together with spiritual purity associated with it. So light is thought about, you know, illuminates it. It sheds the darkness. It lets you see what's really there. And really another meaning or explanation of truth. You know, it's bringing truth. So that's what Jesus came to do. John was a testimony to him, a witness to him, and he came to bring that light and that truth. And lights every man. He gives spiritual knowledge. One of the things about the Gnostics is they believe there was some, you had to get to some higher knowledge, personal spiritual knowledge and enlightenment, not just this light that comes to every man and it's the same truth. You know, he's saying this is the same light. It comes to everybody. But the Gnostics believe you had to reach enlightenment and personal knowledge aside from Jesus being the light. John directly confronts them with the truth. So look at verse 14. He's continuing with that conversation. The Word, talking about in the beginning was the Word. That's how the book starts. It was made flesh. That mattered that John put that in there. It wasn't just the Christ coming and descending on a man. No, Jesus, the Christ, was flesh. God, the Son, was made flesh and walked this earth, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You know when you get a white car, everybody in the world's got white cars. Or when you're pregnant, everybody's pregnant, you know. So when you read John and you're looking for the word truth, you're going to see it over and over and over and over and over again. So it's really kind of neat to look at the emphasis of it. Got off on that. The priests and the Levites asked John if he was the Christ or was he Elijah. And he said, no, I'm the one that Isaiah talked about, a voice crying in the wilderness. The one that's coming, the truth, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. These are things that are in the book of John. He points him out. He's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. And the disciples began to follow Jesus and believe on him. So let's look at chapter 3. Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And we know this is the discourse that where Jesus says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can a man enter into his mother's womb? And he says, you have to be born of the Spirit. And he talks about what it means to be born again. And then in verse 19 through 21 of that same chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Remember, he's the light of the world, right? So if we're doing evil, if we are practicing, and just looking up the meanings of these words, practicing, exercising, performing, accomplishing evil, we don't want to come to Jesus because our deeds are going to be exposed. So that's why the lies come, that make it change in the truth, because I have to change the truth, because if I come to Jesus and let him shine that light and see that I'm a sinner, then I'll have to repent. I'll be convicted or condemned. You know, I have to turn to him. So they don't want their deeds to be seen. They hide and keep that hidden. But those who do the truth, so we can do truth, we can practice truth, we can exercise truth, we can perform truth by coming to Jesus with everything. Lord, search my heart. You know how David prayed. He wasn't a perfect man. He was full of sin, but he let God search him and he would repent. That's being truthful. That's living a life of truth when I can just You know, I don't know why we try to hide things from God, because he sees everything. He knows every thought, you know. So just, Lord, you see me thinking this, and it's not good, you know. And I, like I heard you, Anna Grace, talking about at work, you know, that people expect you to be perfect because you're a Christian. No, the truth is, I am not perfect. I'm a sinner, you know, but Jesus saved me, and he gave me eternal life with him, and he can do that for you too. You know, people do put that on us as Christians, and it's not the truth. We're not perfect, you know, so... The truth is that I've just come to Jesus and let him shine the light and expose these deeds, bring truth into my life. So John goes on, well, in 1 John chapter 1, so keep your place in John and flip over to 1 John. Chapter 1, it's just really neat to see the continued message from John. And these books were not written far apart, within a decade of each, you know, the same time span. 1 John 1:6 says, he that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even he's, that's chapter 2, sorry, 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We can do the truth by having fellowship with him and walking in the light, that constant, Lord, expose what's in me, you know. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth is in us when we repent, when we confess, when we acknowledge what we are as sinners. The truth is in us, and we can be saved. Let's see. Which I didn't write down the next scripture, but chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, trying to find the exact. Well, no, look, verse 4. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, but whoso keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. The truth is not in me if I'm not acknowledging that I'm a sinner. You know, I may make mistakes. I may break commandments, but I'm acknowledging I broke this. You know, I'm not thinking I'm just holy and never doing anything wrong. It's only Jesus that makes us that way. And then he says, let's see, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. The darkness is past. The true light now shines. He that says he's in the light and hates his brothers in darkness even unto now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Lee's preached on this so many times about abiding in the light. You don't want to be, you hate the darkness and you love your brother. So that's the. These are some truths that I'm bringing out that John spoke of. Chapter 5, verse 20 of 1 John still. 1 John 5:20, and I know I'm moving fast, I'm sorry. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I mean, how many more times can he say? He says it over and over again. We have the truth because we're in him. He's the one that's true, and God is true. Really all boils down to who Jesus is and who am I, and do I believe who, you know, what he says, that he came to save sinners and I am one. And everything can come back down to that truth. You know, even like if we're coming to God, Lord, I don't know, you know, about this. This person did this to me. What should I do? This is how I feel about them. This, and God starts saying, well, you know, don't hate in your heart. You need to forgive. You know, he starts dealing the truth with us, you know. And that's what we need to, why we need to come to him with all of that. Even our anger or our hurt or our sin. Lord, I'm struggling in this sin. I know you don't like it, but I need help. I'm coming to you with this. And he begins to work, and he begins to help us and strengthen us. So we have to just everything, bring it to God so the light can shine. So the truth, you know, come to the truth. Come to the truth so he can touch us. And so back in the book of John, chapter 4, he meets a woman, and I'm going to just, you know this story. It's a woman at the well. But he tells her the truth. He knows the truth about her, and he says, you have 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now is not married. So Jesus knows the truth, and he can speak to us. And, because she says, I'm not married, I don't have a husband or whatever. And then she says, where do we worship? All this, she asks him a lot of questions. And another truth he tells about her is, you worship you know not what. In other words, you don't even know what you worship. You just worship because it's a ritual, but you don't even know the one you're worshiping. And we're told we're to worship in spirit and in truth. So we have to know who we're worshiping. It can't just be rituals. And so he tells her the truth, and her life is changed because he tells her the truth. And he speaks the truth to her. Verse 26. Well, 25, the woman says unto him, I know that Messiah comes, and which is called Christ. And when he's come, he'll tell us all things. Because he begins to tell her about God and how to worship in spirit and truth. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And I don't know if your little he is italicized, but if it is, that means that was added for clarity. He really just said, I am. He said, I am. And that, he says that, John uses that so many times. Jesus said, I am, which is the name of God, I am. So he's telling her, I am the truth. We go through the book of John in chapter 5. There's a man that gets healed on the Sabbath. And of course, the Pharisees constantly coming against Jesus, and he tells him the truth. He heals him, and then he says in verse 14, behold, you are made whole. Chapter 5, 14, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So he's just saying, don't continue in sin. Apparently the sin in his life is what caused his sickness, and Jesus says, don't sin anymore. So he tells him the truth. You're having struggles in your life, don't sin anymore. Sometimes there's things that we're bringing on ourselves because of our sin, not everything. Sometimes it's not that, but many times maybe, if you're in confusion or if you're suffering consequences, it could be because of our sin. So we need to come to the light and let God show us the truth and deal with it, and he'll forgive us and heal. The Father's witness of the Son in verses 30 through 46. That's a lot of verses, so let me see. This can be homework. You can put a little mark. Put down John 5:30 through 46. But it really is beautiful, Jesus speaking. And I'd rather you go through it slowly, because I'm not going to right now. But I love in verse 30, Jesus is saying, I can of my own self do nothing. Because when he came to earth, he laid aside his deity. Philippians tells us that. He made himself of no reputation. I mean, at least, you think, he would come and be some rich man or a king or something. But no, somebody that had no reputation. So, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That is truth. That is living in truth. If that's our heart, I'm not seeking my own will, I'm seeking God's will. Then we know we're walking in the truth. I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If I bear witness of myself, there's another that bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. And this goes on to talk about truth. He says, John bore witness to me. The works I do bear witness to me. The word that I say bears witness to me. And the Father bears witness to me. He says that later on. So he's just, I am the truth. And I've got witnesses that I am the truth. And what I say is the truth. And I glorify the Father. So I'd love for y'all to put a little mark by those scriptures and just take time and read through that, because it's beautiful to see Jesus talking about who he is and how the witness that he is true. We always need a witness to help back up the truth, right? And so Jesus has that. Yep. Huh? Am I talking too fast?
You're doing great.
I know. Not really. That was... I know I'm trying to talk fast so y'all can finish. John 5, 30 through 46. Okay, John 5, 30 through 46. All right, another thing he does is in chapter 6, verse 14. This is after the 5,000 people are fed. And he tells them he is the bread of life after this. But, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. 6:14, he says, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So remember John in the very beginning of the book of John was bearing witness to that light. Well, now there's constantly throughout the book of John, there's more witness, more truth that Jesus is the true prophet that Moses spoke of, or Isaiah spoke of. No, Isaiah spoke of John. Moses spoke of Jesus. All right, let's see. He goes through Galilee. He speaks, I am the bread of life come down from heaven. I'm the living bread. My flesh I will give to the world. Look at chapter 6, verse 52.
6:52?
Uh-huh. Well, maybe 51. Jesus makes this statement. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And he goes on to explain this is a spiritual matter. All right, this is, he goes on to say that in, well, let's see. My flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. As a living, anyway, what I wanted to bring out about this is the fact that sometimes the truth is hard to understand and hard for us to take. And the people could not understand what he was talking about. But he goes on, you know, to later say this is spirit. On the verse 61, because they were all murmuring about the hard sayings of Jesus. And he said, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profit nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So he was, you know, he's trying to say, I'm not literally going to make you eat my flesh. This is spirit. It's life. But it was hard for them to take. And sometimes the truth that maybe God brings us to is hard for us to take. But we have to just believe and ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us. Maybe we don't really understand something the Word of God's saying to us. The Holy Spirit's there to lead us into all truth. Remember what we studied on the Holy Spirit last week or 2 weeks ago. He is given to us to lead us into truth. So God wants us to come to truth. God wants us to walk in the light, walk in the truth, because he's given Jesus as a witness of who he is, and he sent the Holy Spirit to us to teach us and guide us. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know not what this world is made of him, but who he is. Chapter 7, 16 through 18, and I'm almost done with this part. Chapter 7, 16 through 18. Jesus answers and says, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. He says it over and over again. I'm speaking my Father's words. All right. In verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I said this before. You're walking in truth when you're seeking God's glory, his will, and not your own. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm seeking my Father's will, his glory. And the last example is in chapter 8 of John, when the woman is caught in adultery. You know, and the Pharisees are constantly trying to trap Jesus, and they were never successful in trapping in his words. They had to get false witnesses, liars, okay, to come, because everything he did was right and perfect and true. So in chapter 8, verse 7, the woman's caught in adultery, and they want to stone her because the law says if you're caught in adultery, you know, it's the punishment's to be stoned. But Jesus speaks the truth. He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And they all walk away, or they drop their stones. And he says in verse 11, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. So he doesn't, oh, it's okay. You just live like you want to live. No, he says, go and sin no more. He speaks the truth, even in those situations where he's poured out his mercy. And he goes on to say, verse 12, Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is repeated over and over again through the book of John, that he is the truth. He is the light. He is the one that's come to dispel the darkness. He is the light of the world. And this chapter, he also says many times, I am, I am. So this is one of the chapters that John brings that out. And John, remember, again, is coming against all that false doctrine that's saying Jesus wasn't God in the flesh. But he was. He said, I am. You know, a lot of people say Jesus never said he was God. Yes, he did. Many, many times. Many. So that's another lie that's out there. There's so much out there in the church world, y'all. And if I don't get to this, if you don't get to this, I'm going to say it. There's so many scriptures that talk about try the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everybody that says Jesus' name. Because, you know, I think you're going to come on some verses. But that's really what we have to guard against, because there's a lot out there in the church world that, you know, they'll do things in the name of Jesus and say things in the name of Jesus, and it's not Jesus. So really pray, really say, God, I want to know the truth. This person might be the most lovely person in the world, but if they're not speaking the truth, I want to know the truth. Show me if it's right. Take it to the Word of God. We have the Word to test it.